Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast on this 17th of December 2017. As we discuss the world of sports and pop culture, as always, call numbers 347-215-6180 as we get head into a week 15 of NFL action. Of course, we've already had three games played prior to today. Last night you had a big win. You had Detroit keeping their playoff hopes alive, though faint as they are, with a, you know, not the prettiest win over the Chicago Bears, but, you know, a win's a win. And of course you had the Kansas City Chiefs getting back to what they were early in the season, probably the best game they've played in about a month. Taking out San Diego 30-13, you had the Chargers reverting back to being the Chargers with just sloppy play. San Diego was actually in that game. That game was closer than the score. I mean, San Diego, you know, just turnover the ball left and right, four turnovers for San Diego, a couple of picks for Phillip Rivers, who had played great during this stretch at San Diego. Was 7-9 during this 9-game stretch, where San Diego would have been 7-2, but San Diego, despite that, San Diego is still in the mix to get a playoff spot. Kansas City now is in the driver's seat as far as the AFC West goes. They are 8-6. They have they're 4-1 in the division. They have a couple of easy games left. Miami and at Denver. Well, Miami may not be easy, but certainly a couple of winnable games for Kansas City. So it looks like Kansas City will make the playoffs and probably win that division and get into the playoffs, which is all you care about. Listen, there's a thing about the NFL. The NFL has become like the NCAA tournament. All you gotta do is just get in the dance. Just get into the playoffs. Get into with your quarterback healthy, relatively healthy. Maybe you can, you know, I don't think they're going to get a first round bye, because I think Pittsburgh and New England will get those. I think Pittsburgh, New England, and possibly even Jacksonville will get those first round byes. But just get in the playoffs, and that's what it certainly looks like. Kansas City is going to do. 347-215-6180. A lot to do. When we come back, we will preview Washington, Arizona. That's coming up, and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. This December 17th edition. We'll be right back. Minutes after the 11 o'clock hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. Of course, you have the Washington football team taking on Arizona, returning home to take on Arizona team that's been like themselves decimated by injuries. This is a game where, again, you have two teams going nowhere. Two teams going absolutely nowhere. For Washington, you know, coming off the last two games where they've been just absolutely embarrassed, you're going to see what is still left in regards to guys. You know, have guys just completely checked out and are looking forward to 2018 or looking forward to the offseason, I should say? Or is there still some pride there in that locker room? Because you still, you know, despite the fact that you're not going to make the playoffs, there's still the opportunity to have a winning season, a non-losing season. You still have a chance to go 8-8. Again, you're still getting the paycheck. So we're going to see, one of the things that you can never say about a Jay Gruden coach team prior to the past two games is that the team never played hard, that the team mailed in a game. Or you can always say that the team played hard. That has not been the case the last two games. The team has not played hard in those last two games. In particular, the Dallas game was just an absolute embarrassment, continued on with what happened in San Diego. So the last two games, the team has not played hard. They haven't looked prepared. You even had DJ Swearinger calling Jay Gruden out, without using Jay Gruden's name, basically saying that we were not prepared to play last week, which is, you know, that is, it, you know, you might as well use the coach's name, because that is purely reflective on the coach when the player says we were not prepared to play. So you had that cloud hanging over Washington. Washington will be without Monte Nicholson and also Zach Brown today's game. They also Trent Williams is also questionable, but he has not practiced all week. Now, it has not been out of the norm for Trent Williams to go through a whole week without practicing and still play on game day. So don't be surprised if he does play. I won't be surprised if he plays. I won't be surprised if he doesn't play. So that'll probably be one of those game time decisions, whether or not he's going to play or not. So again, this is going to come down to a game of, you know, forget about the X's and O's, forget about execution. Coming out to a game of want to. Which one of these teams actually, you know, how bad does Washington want to win this game? How bad does Washington, what is still left in the tank? Because if you're a player for Washington, you're still playing, you know, you're not only playing for, you know, team success, obviously, but you're still playing for your own resume, video resume. Every time you step out on the field, it is a video resume for the current team that you're on, your future team that may look at you through free agency, or if you've been released or something of that nature. So you always should be playing for something, especially in the NFL. Every play is recorded. Every piece of tape, every play is on tape. So again, we'll see after two embarrassing performances by Washington, we'll see how much they have left in the tank. Nobody wants to hear about the injuries. Everybody has injuries. Last week was really the first, you know. Again, the last 2 weeks they've been just utterly just embarrassed, starting with the Dallas performance. But again, their season was lost, we know, a month ago with what transpired in New Orleans. That's when their season probably was unofficially over, but it definitely ended with that Dallas performance. And now, you know, moving forward, you have three games left. You still have the opportunity to finish at .500. You're facing, and you still have some winnable games with Arizona, with the Giants. So these are games that, you know, that are certainly winnable games. But again, it's a matter of how much pride remains in that locker room. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we will talk about it. We will have this morning's headlines and much, much more in this Thursday edition of the Show Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Thank you. 347-205-6180. Just mentioned one injury note for Washington. That is that Dustin Hawkins has been activated. Nick Rose has been released. So that is the that's one other additional injury note in regards to Washington. Dustin Hopkins, kicker, has been reactivated too, and he will kick today against Arizona. Very interested to see what the crowd is going to look like for a game. That, again, has no meaning as far as playoff implications. Remember, the last 2 years, Washington has been, you know, Washington has not had any meaningless games the last two Decembers. 2 years ago, they had that run where they won a division and got it, you know, and were able to get a home playoff game in a loss to Green Bay. Last year, of course, they went into the last game of the season against the New York Giants with their controlling their own destiny. So this is something that has not been the case since year one of the Jay Gruden era, when they were terrible in 2014, of them playing meaningless football in December. But that's been the case for basically, you know, the last 2 weeks. The last two weeks that they've been playing some meaningless games, in December, and certainly that will be the case as Washington, as they're not bad enough for to be fighting for a number two pick, a number one pick, or a quarterback. They're right in that middle. They're going to be right, you know, in that 12 to 13, 14, somewhere in that range. In terms of the draft pick, so it's not like, you know, like tanking makes zero sense. Like losing, if they went 5-11, that's not going to like make a big deal between them getting a franchise quarterback if they choose to go in that direction. So that, you know, you're really out here. You should be really out here trying to actually win these games, and you know, and that's something that, like, an NFL coach never wants to hear about tanking. These coaches, these records, all these games count to these coaches. I don't care how. What the circumstances are in regards to team, in regards to playoff positioning. If you're not in the playoffs, not playing for anything. All these coaches want to win every game because it goes on their record. And you know, Jay Gruden, again, a lot. We expect a lot to change come 2018. I don't expect Jay Gruden to be coaching. I don't expect Kirk Cousins to be the quarterback come 2018. But again, we have all the entire offseason to talk about that. But it's going to be very interesting to see what it looks like, how they respond to two embarrassing performances the past couple of weeks. 347-215-6180 is your call number. This morning's headlines: Jerry Butcher scores. I mentioned the two scores. Kansas City 30-13 over the Chargers. Detroit 20-10 over Chicago. Jerry Richardson investigation. Jerry Richardson is being investigated by the Carolina Panthers for sexual misconduct. The NFL has yet to jump into it to speak on it, which I find curious, considering that earlier in the week the NFL Network suspended Ike Taylor, Marshall Faulk, and Heath Edwards for sexual harassment of a NFL Network employee, Jamie Cantor. Again, this is the problem with the NFL and its inconsistencies on everything in regards to how they police their sport. Everybody, of course, the NFL Network is owned by the NFL, so If you were wondering why you didn't see Jerry Richardson's story, or you didn't see the Marshall Faulk story, or this story on the NFL.com, because the NFL doesn't want to put that kind of publicity, doesn't want to put that kind of story out on its own network that it owns. It controls the content of that network. It controls the content of that website, the NFL.com. So that's why you're wondering why you didn't see those two particular stories pop up on the NFL.com. That is why. But again, this is a case of where the NFL just is totally inconsistent. You suspend players pending an investigation on one hand, and on the other hand, an owner who's been accused of basically the same thing, he's being investigated by his own team in which he owns. So think about that for a second. Like, the owner, he owns the Carolina Panthers, okay? He's being investigated by his own organization. So how do we think that's going to turn out? I mean, what's going to be, what would the smart money be on Jerry Richardson receiving any punishment? You want to lay some bets? You want to take some bets right now on that? It's like New England with the not Deflategate, but with the Deflategate. Oh well, we're going to conduct our own investigation, and through this investigation that we conducted, we determined that the balls were not deflated. Okay, that was the initial investigation from that Deflategate a couple years back. Not the NFL's, but the New England Patriots decided at first, if you remember, to conduct their own investigation in between. The following week of the AFC Championship, you had the AFC Championship, and then you had the bye week for the Super Bowl before New England was going to play Seattle. And during that weekend, they decided to conduct their own investigation, and it turned out that they found themselves innocent, surprisingly. So we'll see what the NFL, we'll see when the NFL tries to jump into this, finally, I anticipate that they will eventually, just to show that they might care about this situation, try to save face and pretend as if they are going to investigate this. But I don't expect anything serious to come out of this. Again, Jerry Richardson is the owner of an NFL team who. It's only one of he's one of 32 owners. I don't anticipate anything to happen to Jerry Richardson as far as any. There will be no loss of picks. Jerry Richardson won't be fined. I don't expect anything to happen out of Jerry Richardson to Jerry Richardson in regards to this. And I don't, like, nobody knows what happened, but again, you see the NFL jumping in and suspending players pending an investigation versus an owner who was accused of basically the same thing. That tells you all you need to know about, again, how inconsistent the NFL is in terms of policing itself, which is one of the reasons why players can't stand one Roger Goodell. Marvin Lewis is out as the Bengals coach for 2018, which is no surprise by any stretch of imagination. Keep this in mind. Marvin Lewis has been with Cincinnati for 15 years. Oh, we all know his playoff record, 0-7, the worst in NFL history. But again, these are one of these deals where we're not going to fire you, but you're not coming back next year. So it works out for both parties. You don't get the embarrassment of being labeled, being terminated officially. And we get to jump on coaching candidates for 2018. We can start looking at coaches like right now, with three weeks left in the season. And you know what? Last home game, you'll get a nice, I'm sure, standing ovation from Cincinnati fans. We'll acknowledge you for your, 15 years of service and things of that nature. So everybody ends up happy going out mutually. I don't think that Marvin Lewis ever had the option to come back next year. I don't know what he have done if he did have the option to come back next year. Remember, there are only 32 of these jobs. Only 32. And Cincinnati, despite the struggles this year, they have been a perennial playoff team and still have some talent on that team. There's still some talent on that defense. AJ Green is still a top receiver. Andy Dalton's still serviceable. Mixon's a good running back. So there's still some players on that team. At this point, they need a change at the top. 15 years is a long time. I thought Marvin Lewis should have been out a couple years ago. So I thought this is probably I think 2 to 3 years late in my eyes. But Marvin Lewis is out. Not now, but that will be out at the end of the 2017 season. And the same look, you can add Cincinnati to one of those to a list of teams that will be looking for a head coach following when this season is over. Matter of fact, they're going to be looking right now as they've gotten a jump ahead along with the New York Giants on their coaching for 2018. There are also some rumblings that Hugh Jackson may not survive this transition that Cleveland's going through. The general manager's already out. I don't understand how Hugh Jackson wasn't fired along with the general manager. I just don't get that. To me, if you're Cincinnati, if you're Cleveland, you would want to start completely over. And if you're bringing in a new general manager, if I'm that new general manager, I don't want a guy who has won one game in the last 2 years. I'm sorry, I don't want him coach. I'm going to bring in my own head coach. So I expect come Black Monday, when the season's over, come Black Monday, that Hugh Jackson will be done as head coach of the Cleveland Bengals. Cleveland Browns. I don't think he's going to be back. I just don't think he can survive a winless season, one win in 2 years. I can't see how you can bring back a coach with that kind of record their first 2 years. 347-215-6180 is your call number. Dodgers and make a deal with Atlanta. Dodgers get back Matt Kemp, who was a former Dodger a couple years back, and was an All Star before he started messing with Rihanna. Then it all went downhill from there in terms of his baseball career. So Dodgers get Matt Kemp. Atlanta gets Scott Kazmir, Adrian Gonzalez, Brandon McCarthy, Charlie Kurbison, and some cash consideration. This is strictly a money deal for both teams. Atlanta has a bunch of one-year contracts in terms of these guys. And a couple of these guys, they don't even have to keep for next year if they choose not to. Adrian Gonzalez, it's already been designated for assignment, meaning he is out. He is free to sign with any team in baseball, free to sign with anybody as a free agent. You have the Dodgers who don't like losing Adrian Gonzalez. None of these guys were going to play on a regular basis next year. So this is all about getting under two things: getting under the luxury tax, number one, threshold, and number two, having a boatload of cash to throw at the likes of Bryce Harper and Manny Machado for 2018. That 2018 free agent class is going to be one of the most talked about and one of the best free agent classes in recent memories. So you're going to see teams making moves to position themselves to be able to throw money at those guys. And that's clearly what the Dodgers are doing with this move. So it's about baseball, but this is more about money and finances and about the Dodgers positioning themselves for a run at the 2018 free agent class, which is going to be considered to be one of the best in a decade. So that's what this move is all about. 347-215-6180. When we return, we'll talk NFL injuries, some big games today, Patriots, Steelers, and the return of the game's best player. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Joplin Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this latest edition of the Cyril Joplin Sports Podcast. Of course, you have the game of the year in Pittsburgh, Heinz Field, with the Patriots coming in off a loss to Miami on Monday night. Pittsburgh can clinch the home field advantage throughout the playoffs with a win and a Jacksonville loss or tie. Pittsburgh wins, can also clinch a first round bye with a win. So a lot on the line for Pittsburgh. If you're Pittsburgh, again, we know what Tom Brady has done to the Steelers over the course of his career in the Mike Tomlin era, 22, including the playoffs, 22 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. Lifetime, he's 10-2 against Pittsburgh, 7-2 in the Mike Tomlin era, including the playoffs. And it's just, I mean, listen, a couple of things have transpired with this. Number one, you know, Pittsburgh plays this zone coverage with their defense. That's one. And they're successful with it, you know, because, I mean, it really is a defense that really tests your patience as a quarterback. Teams, you know, they really stay away from giving up big plays. The problem with that against a Tom Brady is Tom Brady is as patient as, you know, a monk. I mean, Brady will go, you know, Patriots will go 15 plays, 80 yards, take 6 minutes off the clock. They don't care how fast. They're not worried about how fast they score. So that is a problem with that kind of defense. The way to get to Tom Brady, the way to get to the Patriots, you have to have a natural pass rush. You have to have a natural pass rush, or your blitzes have to be so exotic and closely guarded that closely disguised that Tom Brady can't see them coming. Now, again, the guys are playing 18 years. It's hard to fool Tom Brady, a guy who's seen every type of defense, every type of coverage. So you just have to have a natural pass rush. You look at teams over the years that have given Tom Brady trouble with the Giants with their pass rush a couple of times. Even Houston last year with Merciless and Jadeveon Clowney. This year, Cameron Wake with Miami, you saw last week with that. That's how you get to Tom Brady. Yeah, it has to be a natural pass rush. You have to be able to get to Tom Brady with four down linemen without going crazy with the blitz. Now, again, eventually, you know, there are going to be occasions where you have to come after him if you cannot get to him with four down linemen, where you have to throw some blitzes, where you have to take some chances that you might give up some big plays. But you cannot sit back. What you can't do, and this is what Pittsburgh has been doing for the better part of 10 years, you cannot sit back and allow Tom Brady to pick your zone apart, to just pick you apart. Because that's what he'll do with that zone. He will absolutely pick it apart. The next thing you're looking up at 35 points for the Patriots, or 30 plus points. And that's what's happened. That's what has transpired over the course of during the Mike Tomlin era. The frustrating thing, especially if you're a Pittsburgh fan, is that they have changed nothing. They haven't adjusted. They haven't made any adjustments to try to combat New England. They haven't gone out and now T.J. Watt. You want to say he's a? You want? I don't think T.J. Watt's a good player, but I wouldn't put him in the mold of a guy that's just going to get to the quarterback at will, that can line up 3-point stance and get to the quarterback. Pittsburgh has not had a natural pass rusher. I mean, maybe James Harrison is the closest they have come, but he's still an undersized. You know, James Harrison is an undersized edge rusher, and at this point, James Harrison is 38 years old. James Harrison does not have the same impact that he once had. So, again, I'll be very, very interested to watch Pittsburgh's approach defensively. I think Pittsburgh is going to have to win a shootout, which they're more than capable of doing with how explosive their offense can be. So, I think Pittsburgh is going to have to win a game 38-31. Hope that Brady makes a mistake. Get some, you know, maybe get a turnover here on special teams, something like that. I don't think they're going to hold the Patriots under 30 points, especially now with no Ryan Shazier. Hayden is not playing as well with Churchill, but the Ryan Shazier, you look at what they've done, look at how their defense has played since he got hurt with the spinal injury. And listen, teams have been going up and down the field against them. Baltimore went up and, I mean, Baltimore ran through Pittsburgh last week, and Pittsburgh should have lost that game. So, again, Pittsburgh is going to have to depend on their offense. They're going to have to depend on their offense defensively. Again, I don't know what they can do. Again, they don't have natural pass rushers. They can't get, they seem to be stuck in their ways as far as the kind of types of defenses coverage that they throw at people, in particular Tom Brady. So, we'll see what happens. Again, if Pittsburgh wants to be taken serious to win a Super Bowl, to get to a Super Bowl, this is a must-win for Pittsburgh. This game is much bigger for Pittsburgh than it is for New England. I know New England can go to Pittsburgh and win a game, win at Heinz Field, because I've seen it before. Pittsburgh, to me, has no next to no chance to go to Gillette Stadium and win a road game. So we'll see what that we'll see what happens with that. Again, game of the year by far. These two, you know, behemoth heavyweight teams out the AFC. The AFC is a two-horse race as far as who, as far as Super Bowl contenders. Nobody even, like, I wouldn't have, you know, nobody is even close to these two teams at this point. I thought San Diego could be dangerous, but as you learned last night, you can never fully trust them. Jacksonville has talent, but again, Blake Bortles and a lack of experience, playoff experience, would scare you in a big spot for the Jaguars. So, to me, this is a two-horse race, and certainly looking forward to this matchup. NFL injuries, a couple of injuries of note. Tevin Campbell, the backup running back for Atlanta, is out with a concussion. Shaq Green Thompson's out with a foot injury. Trey Turner is out with a foot injury for Carolina. You have Burfict, Vontaze Burfict, Joe Mixon, and Drake Kirkpatrick all out with concussions for Cincinnati. That's one of the reasons why they're a double-digit dog against Minnesota. Amari Cooper and Merrill Edwards are out with ankle injuries in terms of with Oakland. Also, you have a number of Cowboy players who are out with injuries as well. Orlando Scandrick is out. You have Justin Durant is out. You have, as I look on here real quick, Sean Lee should be playing. It was another key. There was a bunch of Cowboys out. So you have David Irving is out with a concussion. Lyle Collins is questionable. He should play. Justin Durant is out with a concussion. David Irving, Orlando Scandrick is out with a back injury. And Tyrone Smith should play with the back injury. He's questionable. Limited practice on Friday, but he did practice, so he should be ready and set to go. Of course, Ezekiel Elliott will return next week against Seattle. And again, this is, you know, that game, Cowboys Raiders is an elimination game. Whoever loses that game is done. As far as their playoff hopes, especially, I mean, either one loses, they're done. I know the Cowboys are a game better at 7-6, but in the AFC, you're not getting in the playoffs with just 9 wins in the AFC. And of course, in the AFC, the Raiders would drop the Raiders to 6-8 if with a loss. So again, that is in essence an elimination game comes tonight. Both teams are banged up. For the Raiders, Amari Cooper's out. Mario Edwards, two key players are out. So you have two banged up teams playing against each other come Sunday night. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll get into a little NBA and also go through some of the top matchups for some of the big matchups on today, and also NFL picks as well. So still a lot to do on this last edition of the Cyril Gerald Quinn Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. This just came over. Maybe when we were doing the show about a half hour ago, the NFL has taken over the investigation of owner Jerry Richardson in terms of workplace allegations of workplace misconduct. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said Saturday the league will retain an outside counsel to conduct the investigations. So the NFL has the team was leading the investigation. It came out on Friday that the team said they had opened their investigation into Richardson. Now that the investigation will be handled solely by the NFL, that just came about, like I said, about 30 minutes ago. So, you know, nobody should be surprised by any stretch of the imagination that this is happening. I didn't expect it to happen this quickly, that the NFL would take over the investigation, but at some point, you knew that the NFL was going to take over this investigation. So, the NFL has taken over the Jerry Richardson investigation on allegations of sexual misconduct, allegations of workplace misconduct. So we'll see how that turns out. In regards to the NBA, a couple of things. You know, Oklahoma City, the Knicks take out Oklahoma City last night. Carmelo Anthony returns to New York. They gave him a standing ovation. Really not much else to talk about other than the Knicks getting a nice win against Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City right now would be an eighth seed in the playoffs right now at a 14-15. Okay. We know the struggles, chemistry, what have you. But it's not, look at what they get Paul George and they get Carmelo Anthony. Indiana right now loses Paul George. They are 16-13. And that's on a 2-game losing streak. They were 16-11. Number 6 in the East. The Knicks are 16-13, number 7 in the East. So both those players, both those teams lose perennial all-stars, okay? Perennial all-stars. I know Carmelo Anthony wasn't at an all-star level last year. Paul George is one of the top 12, 15 players in the league. They lose two perennial all-stars, guys who were the franchise players for years, and the teams get better. And the teams that they go to, the team that both those guys go to, even with an all-NBA talent like Russell Westbrook, MVP, gets worse. So that should tell you all you need to know about, you know. And again, it's a deal that you have to make to get both those players. But it just goes to show you the importance of chemistry, the importance of fit, coaching. Because I don't know, again, I watch Oklahoma City, especially at the end of games, I don't know what they're running, to be honest with you. I don't know what is their system. I see, give Russell Westbrook the ball, go to town. All right, Carmelo, it's your turn. Or spot up jump shots for Carmelo. Or, you know, Paul George, it's your turn. So I don't see what Oklahoma City is running on a consistent basis. So, again, I think about, you know, Indiana, the Knicks both have winning records without those two players. That is not by coincidence. It's not. So just something to keep in mind moving forward. Houston wins his 13th straight game. They're playing great Chris Paul. I did not expect Chris Paul to fit in this seamlessly with Houston. He has, but again, it is all about the postseason in regards to Houston. James Harden probably will win MVP. He'll probably win MVP with the numbers that he's putting up and with the record. But to me, this is about the postseason. You have two guys in Chris Paul and James Harden that have had a house of horrors in terms of their team, what their teams have done in postseason play. They both had been on the wrong side of some of the most disastrous playoff losses in recent NBA history. 2015 for the Clippers, and of course last year with how just Houston, and in particular James Harden, fell apart against San Antonio in which at first looked like a more than winnable series. So we'll see what happens with that with those two with Houston moving forward. Again, I wouldn't be surprised if Houston had the best record in the league, but it is about what they do in the postseason. 347-215-6180. When we return, we will talk. We will talk NFL. We'll have NFL picks and much, much more in this latest edition of the Cyril Joe Queen Sports Podcast. We'll be right back. Amazingly, just 3 weeks left in the NFL season. 1 week, basically 8 days from Christmas. A bunch of playoff implications, a bunch of playoff caliber games this week in the league when no contract is guaranteed. I have 3 picks. All of them have playoff implications. Let's go to the Giants Stadium for the lonely New York Football Giants taking on an Eagle team that is trying to lick its wounds from losing their franchise and MVP quarterback, possible MVP quarterback in Carson Wentz. They head to the Meadowlands as 7.5-point favorites with Nick Foles. The Giants, 2-11, have been a disaster. Fired by the general manager, have been one of the worst teams in all of football this year, coming off a beatdown at the hands of the Dallas Cowboys, 30-10 last week at Giants Stadium. But I just think that reality is going to set in for the Philadelphia Eagles losing their starting quarterback, losing their franchise quarterback. Last week, you know, you lose your quarterback in game, still in battle mode. You're still in the shock of losing your quarterback in game. It's not the same as losing your quarterback and having, you know, to sit through a whole entire week of listening to it, it being talked about through the media, not seeing him in practice, not seeing him in the film room, knowing that he's not going to play. I just think that is a different type of pain that you have to deal with as a football team. Again, there's nothing like losing your star, your franchise quarterback. You can every injury, I always will say this, every injury, you should be able to survive outside of your starting quarterback. Nick Foles is a decent player. Nick Foles, you know, knows the system. Nick Foles has played in Philadelphia. So that for Nick Foles. But again, what will be new is playing. What will be new is the fact that playing for a team that has Super Bowl aspirations that now has gone from just Super Bowl mode to just trying to survive. I think this game will be close. I think this will be a field goal game. I think the Giants will play hard. I think that the Philadelphia, again, this will be more about Philadelphia coming off the shock of losing Carson Wentz, one of these old-fashioned NFC East divisional battles. These two teams never liked each other. New York, Philadelphia, they hate each other. I think the Giants will show you something, some type of fight moving forward, and will lose a game. I can see, you know, Philadelphia 24, Giants 20, that type of game. I'll take Philadelphia to win, but the Giants with the points. Game number two, Cincinnati at Minnesota. We know how banged up Cincinnati is. We know how good of a team Minnesota is. But again, over the course of this season, I've seen a number of games with these double-digit numbers and the dog cover constant cover on a consistent basis. I don't think this would be any different. I still think Cincinnati has some good players on defense. I still think Cincinnati, now that the Marvin Lewis thing has now been put to bed, I think they'll play hard for Marvin Lewis. I think that they just play stupid. There's never been a case of Cincinnati not playing hard. They just play stupid football. So I think Cincinnati will play hard. I think this will be a close game. I think this will be a defensive game. I'll take Minnesota 20-13, 20-15, 20-17, that type of game. I just could not stay away from 12 points was just too many points for me. So I'll take the Minnesota to win, but Cincinnati with the points. The final game, Green Bay at Carolina. Superman is back. Aaron Rodgers is back. I think they're catching Carolina at a perfect time. I know Carolina's had a good win against Minnesota, but I still don't like what I see out of this Carolina team week in and week out. They've been inconsistent over the past couple of weeks. I think I look at Green Bay. I think Aaron Rodgers coming back to a Green Bay team that can get to the playoffs was all that Green Bay needed for a shot of adrenaline. Green Bay has been running the ball better. They've been playing better defense. I think Green Bay will win this game, upset by Carolina outright, and make their run. Now, it might not be enough. 10-6 might not be enough, but I think this will be the beginning of Green Bay making a late season charge to get to the playoffs. Brett Hundley did his job. His only job was to have the team in a position to where they can get to the playoffs if Aaron Rodgers was available to come back. Aaron Rodgers was available to come back. They are still in the divisional. And most importantly, the playoff hunt at 7-6. So, Philadelphia with the points, Giants with the points, Cincinnati with the points, and Green Bay outright to upset, if you want to call it that. And it would be an upset, the Carolina Panthers at Carolina. I don't think that's a great home field advantage either, that kid playing at Carolina. I've never seen that as a great home field, even when Carolina's been good. So there are my picks for a week 15 in a league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Big games in the NFL. Of course, the game of the year, you have New England. Pittsburgh hosting New England. Again, to me, a must-win for the Patriots, for the Steelers, if they want to be taken seriously as threats to New England. Green Bay at Carolina, return to Aaron Rodgers. Green Bay has to have this game. I mean, this is obviously a must-win. They have to have this game to keep their playoff hopes alive. Carolina trying to continue it's positive momentum coming off that great win against Minnesota last week. The Rams at Seattle, that is a game that will be for the division. Right now, Seattle has the Rams have a one-game lead over Seattle, but Seattle defeated them earlier in the season. If the Rams win this game, they would be both 4-1 in the division, and Seattle, the Rams would, in essence, basically lock up the division with this game. It would be two games ahead of Seattle with just two games to play. So this is a big, this is a huge game for both teams, in particular for Seattle, if they want to have a chance to win the division. Of course, the playoffs, again, you have an elimination game with Dallas and the Raiders. The loser is done. You have Jacksonville has a chance to clinch a playoff spot. You have New England with a chance to clinch the division and their division with a win today. You have the Eagles Yeah, Minnesota has a chance to clinch. Minnesota has a chance to clinch the division with a win. Chance to clinch the division with a win or a tie. Also, Minnesota can clinch the division, their playoff berth with a number of just crazy things happening. Philadelphia has a chance to clinch a first round bye. Has a chance to clinch with a first round bye with a win and a. Or if they tie, a number of crazy things happen. If they win, they outright clinch a first round bye. And they can clinch home field. Philadelphia also has a chance to clinch home field advantage throughout with a win and a Minnesota loss. And a Minnesota loss. Jacksonville can clinch a playoff berth, but a lot of things can clinch a playoff berth with a win or a number of other things happening in regards to scenarios that I won't even go over. But they can clinch a playoff berth with a win. So, should be an interesting week in week 15. You have a number of big games and certainly looking forward to it. I will hear from you soon on the next edition of the Sir Joe Quinn Sports Podcast. So long.